Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Q1 FY23 earnings conference call of NATCO Pharma Limited, hosted by Edelweiss Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kunal Randeria from Edelweiss Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Michelle. Good morning and welcome, everyone. On behalf of Edelweiss Securities, I welcome you all to NATCO Pharma's Q1 FY23 earnings conference call. We have with us Mr. Rajeev Nannapaneni, Director and Chief Executive Officer of NATCO Pharma, and Mr. Rajesh Chebiyam, Executive Vice President, Crop Health Sciences. I will hand over the call to Rajesh for his opening remarks. Over to you, Rajesh.
Thank you, Kunal. Again, good morning, everyone, and welcome to NATCO's conference call discussing our earnings results for the first quarter of FY 2022-2023, which ended June 30, 2022. During this call, we may be making certain forward-looking statements or statements about future events, and anything said on this call which reflects our outlook for future must be reviewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. I'd like to state the material of the call, except for participant questions, is the property of NATCO and cannot be recorded or rebroadcast without NATCO's express written permission. We'll begin with the results highlight and then go for an interactive Q&A session. Again, we have sent a press release earlier. Our results and press release is also available on our website. Just to summarize, NATCO had recorded consolidated total revenue of 918.9 crores for the first quarter of FY 2022-2023, as against 427.3 crores for the same period last year, reflecting a growth of around 115%. The net profit for the period on a consolidated basis was 320.4 crores as against 75 crores same period last year, more than four-fold increase. Export sales of lenalidomide product to United States was a major contributor to the revenue and profitability of the business during the quarter. The domestic pharma formulation business remained steady. On the expense side, there was a one-time cost associated with the retirement schemes during the quarter and higher than usual R&D costs for product development. The segmental business split has been shared as well in the press note. We will go for Q&A, and we'll address your questions. Thank you. We'll take the first question.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to answer questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Thank you. The first question is from the line of Ravi Dharamshi from ValueQuest Investment Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my call. Good morning, everyone. My question is regarding the lenalidomide. Can you just explain to us how the recognition is going to happen in this case? Some of it we had recognized in the last quarter of FY 2022, and also there is a split between manufacturing margins and the profit share. If you can, whatever you can share, I understand the competitive reasons why you might not want to share a whole lot. Whatever you can share that will provide us with some sense on how the cash flows are gonna pan out.
Sure. I think in terms of profit share, we have booked a good amount in Q4 and a good amount in Q1 of this year. In terms of the further revenue, Ravi, I think it will taper off in Q2 and Q3. There will not be much in Q2, Q3. I think most of it is booked. So there will be a little bit left in Q2 and not much, I think, in Q3. I think that's my sense, but we'll see how it actually plays out. Again, Q4, I think things will get better. And then Q4 of 23, the March ending, March 23, and it'll, you know, again, things will improve. And again, it will be very good again. June 23, again, probably will taper off. That's what the trend looks like, I think, based on how things are.
So if I have to understand correctly, whenever the supplies are sent, at that time, manufacturing margins are booked and maybe some amount of profit share. But in the subsequent quarter, when the sales happen, is when the profit share is booked.
No, absolutely correct. Yeah, correct.
Okay. Okay. My second question is on the Copaxone. If you can just give us some sense on what are the trends in terms of volume and pricing.
I think our guys are doing well. I think I don't remember the last the market share that we have, but I think we are 40s or close to 50, if I recollect. But I don't remember the exact number. But it's steady state. I think overall volume has dropped a bit on Glatiramer because a lot of the product has moved to the oral, as you're aware. But I think for whatever size of Glatiramer that is there, I think we're doing very well. And it's been a steady state product and it's doing well.
Okay, thanks. I'll get back in the queue for further questions.
Yeah. Thank you, Ravi. Thanks. Yeah. Next person, please.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankush Agarwal from Surge Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Ajit. Thank you for taking my question and congrats on a great set of numbers. So firstly, on Revlimid again. So wanted some sense on, you know, how do you see Revlimid growing for NATCO post, you know, the first initial launch year? The reason I'm asking this is because in terms of volumes, if we say that a market, volume quota is going to increase from mid-single digit to one-third over next 4-5 years, so naturally the volumes are going to expand multiple. So based on that, do you think the development from the first base year for us in terms of value will grow, or do you expect that it will largely be stable in the next couple of years, given how the market develops?
I don't have all the information, but I think my understanding is that other generics are coming in a staggered manner. So I think our expectation that is that, you know, again, until the market formation happens, you can't really tell, but yeah, I think our expectation is it will do well for the next few quarters. I think we have good visibility. And I think, as you rightly said, we should get more market share with time, and I think we should do well. I think that's our expectation.
Okay. Good. Secondly, Rajiv, I think a couple of years back, we had this guidance of 1,400 crores of PAT in FY22, which obviously didn't pan out because a lot of things didn't play out. But now, and since things have started moving back, so any color on if we will be able to achieve that number sometime in the future?
I think, that assumes a few things. I assume that, that the profit share that we had will be booked in March, but we booked it over, in 23, I think. So in that sense, it has not panned out. But still, we have not met the 1400 number, clearly. We are not. And I think that primarily is driven by the fact that the aglo hasn't panned out and our domestic has not done too well. I mean, that's the reason why I think we're unable to meet. I think these two things we need to address. Let me start with domestic. I think domestic is steady, but I think we have money in the bank, and I think we are looking at different acquisitions. Hopefully, we'll be able to strengthen our domestic with an acquisition. I think that's something that we're looking at. Agro, we'll just share an update. The patent expires on August 13th of 2022, and we also mentioned in the last conference call that we got sued for a process patent, which is about, I think, around 25, I think December 25, I collect the dating. So now what has happened is the judge has appointed a third-party expert to look at whether we are infringing or non-infringing. I think we have taken a position that our process doesn't infringe their patent, and they have asserted that, no, we are infringing the patent. So they have appointed a third-party expert. So they have appointed two experts. So their opinion is expected, and we've been told not to launch till the next date of hearing, which is scheduled, I think, around August 22nd. So, subject to a resolution, a favorable resolution, of the dispute with FMC, I think we're very excited about the opportunity that this product presents. So, but I think it will play out in the next few weeks. Hopefully, we'll get a favorable order, and we'll take it from there. And the domestic, as I said, I think we need to, see how what we should do on an acquisition side. But I think, see, what has happened in the business. I mean, I'm giving a general industry point about generics is that the market has become extremely competitive, and nobody is willing to let go market share. So, and only you'll only get growth either by acquiring market share, by buying an asset, or you do a new launch. So I think that's a challenge in our business today, and I think that's a challenge that we'll see in the future as well. Yeah. Thank you.
I'll get back in the queue for that question. Thank you.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ahmed Madha from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So I have a question that last quarter we quantified that we are left with 70-75% of the volume for Enzymed. So as of Q1 end, what percentage of volumes we are yet to book?
I don't reveal the number, but most of it is done. There's only little left, I think. I know I'm being a little evasive in answering it, but for strategic reasons, I can't answer that question. But most of it is done, Ahmed. I think that's the best way to answer that question.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. And second question on the R&D expense, can you explain what kind of nature this unusual R&D expense is mentioned in the press release? And do we consider that this will be the new base of R&D considering the kind of cash flow we have received?
I think so. Yeah, I think I've said this in the last quarter call as well. I think somebody asked me what we're going to do with the surplus. And I think a good portion of, I think at least some portion of the surplus we are using for spending on R&D. I think we want to build another couple of jackpots that we have so that we can sustain the pipeline for the coming decade. So if you see the rise in expenses, that the two primary reasons. One is there's an increase in the exhibit batches and the clinical costs. So we're doing hard to do generics. And we're trying to keep the most of the economics of most of the products. So that's the reason why, you know, there's a higher expense on the balance sheet. So, and the second thing is the general increase in the operating costs caused by, the macroeconomic environment in the world, as you know. I mean, we've seen a dramatic increase in fuel prices, furnace oil, coal. We've seen dramatic increase even in, electricity prices. So I think that's probably contributed to the increase in a bit in the OPEX. But I think good portion of the increase is coming from more spend on R&D. Okay.
Got it. Thank you.
Next person, please.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hiral from Moneytix. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for the good set of numbers. My one question is that if I see the quarter-on-quarter performance compared to March 22, the June 22 numbers, revenue has increased for more than 30-35%. While the cost of material consumed has gone almost half from 193 crore to 95 crore odd. So whether there is a reduction in the cost substantially or and how if this is sustainable for the future or if I missed something in the past.
You missed something, my friend. You actually missed something. Basically what happened in last March quarter was we did a write-off of the COVID inventory. It is not true consumption. So a lot of the raw material that you see is write-off the COVID inventory. So that's the reason why you see very high consumption. That's the reason why there's a difference in the consumption.
Okay. So from the current quarter, what I see the margin and the revenue utilization, these are the actual margin, right? And we can expect
the margin with most of it is actually consumption and about, as I would say, some portion of it is also R&D expense, where when you do exhibit batches, you expense this off when we do the exhibit batches. So the portion of this and a portion of the actual consumption.
Okay, sure.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Rajat Setia from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. So just one clarification, did we say that when we said that we have booked most of the numbers in quarter one itself and nothing much will come in quarter two and quarter three and the cycle will begin again from quarter four, did we refer to the manufacturing margin there or the profit share from revenue machine?
We refer to the, you mean for this year you're saying or for last? Let me clarify. The profit share for the launch we booked in Q4 of last year and Q1 of this year so far. Okay. And one gentleman asked me how much of the profit share is still left. I said most of it is done, little bit is left. That will be booked in Q2 or Q3 of this year. And the manufacturing also will be booked in the next few quarters. But the majority of the profit share will get booked when we get to launch the new quantity Q4 and Q1 of next year in 2023.
Okay. So, sir, so a question here. So it means basically we have sold, we are given an annual volume permission to sell some certain number, and we have probably sold most of that already in the first 5-6 months. However, if we look at the BMS sales reported in this quarter, they have actually grown. So how is that possible? I mean, we have taken away some share from them for sure. In fact, more than our permitted share in the first 5-6 months. And we will not sell much in the next 5-6 months. And that's how we will reach to our annual quota. However, we have taken some share from them. But they have also grown in the first in this quarter on Q&Q basis. So how is that possible? Not able to understand.
I think there's a general growth in the molecule. Again, I have not looked at BMS's statement, so I can't qualify. I can only tell you what I have done. I can't, it'd be hard for me to judge what BMS has declared. But I think the only logical sense is possibly the size has grown. But again, I can't answer your question.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Right.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ritika Agarwal from ValueQuest Investment Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So last quarter you had indicated that this 85 crore of agro inventory currently in your balance sheet and you classified that as a risk. So in the current quarter, of course, you said that you are upbeat on it and expect a favorable outcome. But what is the worst case scenario? What if we do not receive a favorable outcome? What triggers this risk?
Good question. We've not made an assessment yet. But what I can tell you is, for full disclosure, we'll tell you what we're dealing with. I think I just got an update on the inventory. So the total inventory in agro is about little over 100 crores. I think that's the current 108 crores is what I understand. So it is reflected in the inventory of the books. Okay. So there is also an investment on the facility, so which is about 165 crores. I think that is the total investment in the facility. The question now is, what will happen if you get an adverse verdict? I think let's wait for the lower court verdict, the single judge verdict. And even if you're unhappy or if they're unhappy with the verdict, they'll definitely go to a DB. So I think we'll make the assessment in this financial year. So, and what to do, and so if everything goes well, then I guess we don't have to provide. But, you know, and I think if you're not getting clarity, then we have to make a decision on what to do. So, but these are the numbers, and what to do and all. I think we'll let's wait for the clarity, and I think we'll make a decision. But yeah, I think that's where we stand. Okay.
Understood, sir. So, could we expect that these inventory might expire and we might be able to, we may have to write off if things do not fall in the correct place?
I think I don't want to answer that question now, Ritika. Let's wait for the court to decide, and I think let's see how things go, and we will update you, I think, when we have to make the decision. But I think I don't want to answer your question at this time. But I gave you the broad numbers of what we are holding, and I think that's adequate disclosure at this time. Yeah.
Sure. So also last quarter our inventory was 760 crores. Could you update what is the current inventory?
As of today, I don't have the console with me. I have the standalone, which is most of the inventory. Our current inventory is 674 crores. And this includes the agro inventory of 110 or 108, whatever that number is.
Sure. And lastly, what is our cash and cash equivalents currently on the balance sheet?
Rajesh, do you want to answer that question?
Yeah, Ritika, so as of today, it's about 1134 crores is the cash equivalents. And total borrowings is about 168. Of that, about 108 is foreign bill discounting.
And about 60 crores working capital borrowing. Okay?
Got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prakash Agarwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning, sir. Sir, on the R&D, you mentioned you're taking more initiatives and filing more complex. So which areas are these? What is the percentage of sales we are doing on the R&D, especially for the quarter, and which areas are these?
I think I'll answer your question in terms of area. We're focusing on peptides. We're focusing on oligopeptides. That's one area we're focusing on. And we're focusing on onco products, particularly onco products which require clinical trial on patients. So I think these are the niche areas that we're focusing on. As a percentage, I don't have the number on hand, Prakash, so I can't answer that question. But I think we're spending reasonable amount of R&D, which is reflected in the cost. Okay. Next question, please.
Okay. And how many of the filings we've already done, or all of these complex filings are still WIP?
I would say some we have done and some are WIP. So we're targeting about 8 to 10 this year. So I think what we are spending now are in WIP, most of them.
Okay, understood. And you mentioned about, you know, the most of the profit and supply of the goods of Revlimid is largely booked. So how do you expect the run rate for the export formulation business going ahead for the second half of the business? So you expect a drop there?
I think lenalidomide contribution in Q2 and Q3 will be minimal. Yes, that's correct. We'll have the numbers without the without lenalidomide.
Run rate is
different. I'm sorry?
What is our normalized run rate, base business run rate?
I don't want to answer that question. So I think we will, because there will be some element of lenalidomide also there. I don't want to answer that question this time. Yeah.
Okay. And for the India business, you mentioned that you know, you're trying acquisition, new initiatives. So if you could talk about a little more on that.
We're looking at different assets. I think we said that in the last quarter call as well. I think there are a lot of assets available now. So we're weighing different options. Hopefully we'll be able to close the transaction in this financial year.
Any particular areas you're looking at?
I don't want to answer that question. We're looking at all areas, but I think once we consummate a deal, definitely we'll definitely.
I ask is because our focus area has been, you know, highest MR productivity. With less MR, we get quite good the model sales, those kind of portfolio. So is it similar, or we are coming into the broad IPM?
We have to come into broad IPM, Prakash, because otherwise we will not have growth. I think there's a limitation to my niche portfolio. I think we've done well with the portfolio, but there's a limitation to how much we can grow in that segment. We have to go into a more GP, CP, cardio, gynec, anti-infectives. I mean, the area is very wide. I mean, because we're not present in any of the mass segments, so any segment could be interesting as long as we're able to get some synergy where we use that segment with the acquisition and bolt a couple of our own R&D products so that we're able to get the synergy. So we are open to any segment as long as we see that there's potential here. Okay.
Perfect. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Surya Patra from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for this opportunity and congrats for the good set of numbers. Just a couple of clarification. Regards this Revlimid, this volume limited condition, whatever that is there for the period. So how rigid is that and whether the volume condition is for the annual condition or it is periodic, like quarterly, one should be having that mid-single digit kind of number. Some clarity if you can.
It's an annual number.
Okay, so that means one can be having a larger number in the initial period or whichever part of the period, and in other period it could be null. So that can be possible.
That is possible, correct.
May I know, sir, what is the R&D sequential rise? Let's say last quarter, what was the R&D absolute amount, and this quarter, what could be that?
I don't have the number I can't answer that question because I don't have the number on hand.
Overall, for the last financial year, if you look at 12% of your top line was spent on R&D, so it's like incrementally higher than the prior year, which was around 8-9%.
Okay. Now, my point of what I was trying to draw you, sir, basically, sequentially, if I see the formulation export growth, it is near about 360 odd crore kind of incremental business sequentially. And at the EBITDA level, let's say, if I adjust for the previous quarters for the adjustments, if inventory and all that, and this quarter's this voluntary VRS payments, so then there is a 330 odd crore kind of sequential improvement at the EBITDA level. So if I just, having limited information, just think that, okay, the majority of this sequential revenue rise is led by Revlimid contribution. And same is the kind of, or majority of the EBITDA contribution is also from that only. Then the profitability of this product looks really great. It is beyond anybody's expectation in terms of margins for this revenue stream. Whether I'm right in thinking that way or if you can give some sense.
I don't give a profit with split of product. I think, as you know, this product is we have launched it first, so then it's certainly very profitable.
Yeah, but indirectly, if I can just try to get a sense of like whether the pricing of these product is 10-15% lower than the
I can't answer that question, my friend. I think I've been forbidden to answer that question. Seva has given us guidance on what we can say, what cannot say. We can't.
Last one question, if I can ask on that, sir. So is it a 50-50 revenue sharing or it is a profit sharing?
One third. It's only 30%
to us. Okay, revenue or profit, sir?
Profit.
So that means we would be booking partial revenue at the time of this thing?
Partial revenue when you send the raw material and the profit is booked as and when it's accrued.
Sure. Okay.
Thank you. Next question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dinesh Mistry from Investor First Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you, Rajiv. And just one question I had is that on domestic business, which is there, you mentioned that last time there was some pricing pressure, especially on co-side. So is that past us, number one? Number two is that are we seeing any volume growth or pickup in that piece? And number three is that in terms of our U.S. business or export, U.S. is X, I think last year maybe some of our influenza business was not doing well because of masking. Any sense on whether you see that improving in the coming year? That's it from my end. Thank you.
Okay, your first question is on the U.S. business environment, and what is the second question? What is the first part of your question? I missed
the first part was essentially in the domestic onco business. You mentioned that there was some pricing pressure last time in the last quarter. So is that kind of past us? Are we seeing volume growth coming back?
I think it's stable. The domestic is being stable. I think we're doing well, and I think we have done well in the cardiology division. I think overall the business is stable, but it's not growing. I think that's a challenge that we're having in that business. And I think the diagnosis that we have done in that business is that we are too limited in terms of the reach that we have, because we're only covering niche amount of doctors. Our core business is covered by only 300 reps. So which is not, I mean, even if they are covering about 150 doctors on average, we're not even covering a tip of the iceberg of the whole, the ecosystem of doctors. I think one of the biggest changes that we need to make is, you know, cover a larger segment. So we started a new segment now, which, you know, which will give us a mass coverage. So now we're slowly ramping up the reps. So, but again, it's a very slow business. Unless you do an acquisition, where you have a basic portfolio, then it doesn't allow you to cover a larger segment. I think that's what we need to fix, and that's what we intend to fix in the next few quarters. So that's on the domestic. Regarding U.S. is, you know, it's a tough business. I mean, that's the only way I can answer that question. I think you need to have a good launch or a niche product. Otherwise, it's very difficult to make money in the U.S. And that's the way it works. And the way the market is set up, that's the only way you can do it. So there's, I think, does that answer your question or?
Just one question. I think you've been very clear on that. But in terms of the other parts of our business, Revlimid in the U.S., you know, the last few years we had this whole influenza thing not working out because of
influenza. Yeah, I'm sorry, I missed that question. Influenza as a business also is gone, Dinesh. I don't see it coming back at all. We'll book sometimes some revenue, but the margins are very low. It's nothing exciting where I can come back and tell you that they'll make a substantial dent on EBITDA. If you ask me, the whole Tamiflu thing is dead. I mean, I'm not saying I don't sell Tamiflu. I mean, that is will not deny that. But it's a very commodity product. There's nothing special about it.
Got it.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. It's very clear.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Rajeev. And wish you the very best of luck.
Okay. Thank you. Next question, please.
The next question is from the line of Sameer Shah from ValueQuest Investment Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I had two questions from my side. One, on the rest of the world geographies, what are the things, say, next two, 3 years to look forward to? I think Canada is doing well, but if you can give some more color on the other markets.
Yeah, sure. So I think in the earnings, I think we did about in Canada, we did almost 9 to 10 million Canadian last quarter. So we've done well in that particular subsidiary. Just give the exact numbers. Just give me a moment. Canada, we have booked about 53.67 crores in the balance sheet in Canadian sub. That has done well. Brazil has also done very well. Brazil has done 18.2 crores. So I think our core business, I mean, our whole subsidiary business is doing about 105 crores. So that's a very good, you know, situation to be. I think our idea is that we should strengthen our subsidiary business. And all our subs are making money except for the US sub, which we have recently acquired. So that's also, you know, something that we need to fix. But overall, I think the near term, to answer your question, to improve our base earnings, we needed to fix two things. One is we need to enhance our domestic reach through an acquisition or with new launches. Two, I think the agro, we need to have clarity. Three, our US sub, where we're launching our own products, that also has to start making money. The US, my sense is, will lose money for the next 1 year, 1.5 years before it stabilizes. So next year, I think our expectation is like 24 financial year, I think we should be able to see some clarity there. Agro, we're waiting. So once the court verdict comes. And domestic, you know, as I said, I think we're looking at different options. But yeah, I think acquisition and domestic growth is what's going to, these are three major things we need to focus on. Okay.
And secondly, on the agrochemical piece domestically, while we understand, you know, this ATPR whatever is happening, that we are very clear. But apart from that, if you can, you know, whether pheromones or everything else, what are the other things that we are targeting, if there is some color on that?
Pheromone is something that we are running right now. We have this product for PBW, pink ball worm in cotton. This has done reasonably well this year. I think our expectation is that business should do well this year. I think our expectation is that that whole agro business minus CTPR should do about 10 to 12 crores this year. I think that's our expectation. But it's not going to move the needle. And I think it's, you need a larger portfolio. And I think we have other products that we have filed, but we don't have visibility on them at this time. CTPR is the only one that's near visibility. And that's, as you know, a very, very large product. So this CTPR, from what I understand, is more than 10% of the whole agro business. So I think you need to get this right. But you know how we are as a company. I think we always like to bet on jackpots. And it's the nature of the bet. But in the near term, I think that's what you're looking for. I think, yeah.
Right. Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pinaka Banerjee from AUM Capital Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Sir, good morning. Sir, thanks for taking my question. There is a news article where you are investing in that cell therapy startup iSystem. Sir, can you please throw some light on it, sir?
Yeah, sure. I think as part of our, we have about a 30 to 40 crore investment that we do in healthcare-related sectors. So as part of that, and I think we're not, as you know, we want to build, see, the future of the business is doing innovative work. And in our core business, we don't, our focus is primarily on generics. So we do some work, but I think most of it is on generics. This is an interesting opportunity that we're investing about $1 million, 7.5 crores to be more precise, a little less than $1 million. And this is this startup is doing some work on macular degeneration. So I think it's a very interesting niche portfolio, but it's a very minority single digit share. It is nothing substantial. It is just part of our larger portfolio, just to get a feel of what's going on in the ecosystem. So we do these investments just to get a feel of the ecosystem. Yeah.
Okay, sir. The next question is, sir, actually agrochemicals has been just a minuscule part of your revenue now. So actually, sir, are you contemplating any ways to actually increase this revenue share, considering the fact that you have a number of stiff competitors in the Indian market also, and both international as well as international?
I think we are. I think we're looking at acquisitions in this space, and we're also looking at some success in our product launches. But the business at this stage is at infancy, but I think our thinking internally is that this business has to go large, and I think hopefully it will become about 10 to 15% of our sales in the next 2 to 3 years, depending on our success.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. And all the best. That's all from my side. Thanks.
Okay,
thank you. The next question is from the line of Gagan Thareja from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, speak a little louder. Go ahead, Gagan. Go ahead, please.
Yeah. Sir, on CTPR, I think you indicated that the patent goes off by August of 2022. So irrespective of the litigation, you should be able to launch one way or another, right?
No, I've answered that question, Gagan. I think you missed the answer. I'll just tell you this again. The patent of the product goes up on August 13th, 2022. We have been sued for a process patent, which is how to make CTPR through a process for a patent which expires in December 25. We are telling the court that we are not following their process. We have a non-infringing process. So the court has said that court has appointed a third-party expert to evaluate what our process is and compare it with their process. And it has listed the matter on August 22nd. And we are awaiting the expert opinion. And once we get a favorable outcome, we'll be able to launch the product. I think that's what I said.
But does that mean that other companies can potentially come in and launch their product post 13th of August? Who would not have challenged?
Anybody who has a non-infringing route technically can launch the product. I think that's the best way I can answer that question. Yeah.
Okay, I get it, sir. So second question is on the domestic sales. You indicated that it's not grown year on year, and if I look at, you know, one of your competitors, AstraZeneca, who has a oncology portfolio in India, they have grown, you know, significantly over the last 3 years. Has there been a case of, you know, them bringing in some patented molecules which might have impacted the existing generic portfolios in oncology and therefore sort of, you know, shifted market shares away?
Astra's business model is different. Our business model is different. Okay, what Astra portfolio has done is something I can't comment on because I don't understand it. I don't know it. What I can tell you is about the generic portfolio, which is what we are as a company. The portfolio that we have has done, it's been steady, and we have seen price erosion. It's not a true comparison because theirs is a innovator portfolio. Ours is a generic portfolio. So I think it's not a fair comparison because we are operating in two different environments. And overall, our portfolio has struggled. I mean, there's nothing to hide there. I think because of the limitations of the segments that we're covering. And I think we have good launches that we have planned. And so we are seeing the sale has been steady. I will not say that it has not declined or not increased. I think it's been steady. And I think our idea is that we need to launch new segments and consolidate that segment.
Okay. And the final question on US, if I can, I mean, a lot of your peers have indicated, you know, continuing double digit, in fact, mid to high double digit sort of a base price erosion on their generic business. What has been your experience on your portfolio and what has been, you know, the year-on-year sort of performance for your base portfolio in US?
I think, if you remove lenalidomide, which is the elephant in the room, the other portfolio has been steady. Maybe declined slightly, but it has been steady. But we have made it up with, like, launches in the other ROW markets. I think that's what has happened. Well, in the US, pricing is difficult. I think I've always said that. I think unless you have something interesting and special or limited competition, you know, it's very difficult to make money. So I think we have been reasonably successful. I mean, we had a reasonable launch of Everolimus last year. So it's not that, you know, all of it is, you know, it's been a complete decline in the business. But having said that, see, it's a tough business. I mean, there's no way getting around that. But still, it's a very important market. You just can't avoid it because 50% of the pharmaceutical market is the United States. So you just have to be there and just try to do something interesting and just hope that it works. I think that's how you're going to do this business.
Thank you, sir. I'll get back in the queue and wish you all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kartik Mehta from Clay Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, all my questions have been answered. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Kartik. Thank you. Next person, please.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sameer Baisiwala from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you and good morning, everyone. Rajiv, a quick one on Revlimid. Are you doing a continuous manufacturing and supplies to Teva or are you doing it on a campaign basis?
We do it on campaign basis. We do it on campaign basis.
Okay. And that's why you have two quarters when you get a lot of profit share, etc., and two quarters when you're not getting.
It depends on, like, you know, in a way, yeah, sure. Yeah. Yes, that's correct, yes. Yeah.
Okay, great. And just one final one on this. Even when the other competitors do launch end of September, whenever they do, it's highly volume controlled launches. And my guess is the market would always be undersupplied, you know. So therefore, is there really a pricing risk, you know, here, or you think that you can maintain a high profitability and pricing for a period of time?
I think the product should do well. I think that's the best way to answer that question. And regarding the other competitors and all, I think, you know, there'll be staggered entry, so that'll obviously play a role on the price erosion. But it'll be a good product overall, yes.
Okay, great. Thank you,
sir. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Ravi Dharamshi from ValueQuest Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. I just had a small follow-up. Did the current quarter number have any contribution from Nexava?
It did.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sandeep Kothari from East Lane Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Rajiv. Quick question on the FMC litigation. Appointing of an expert committee or experts, is it very normal in process patents in India, or this is something unique? And do you have a say in appointing this, or court picks up somebody and appoints them, or and what is the potential for delay? There have been a couple of hearings. It's now 22nd August. So just how this plays out.
How it will play out, I don't have an answer to that, Sandeep. I don't know. What I can tell you is the process. Okay? So in our experience in litigation, at least I would like to say that we are fairly experienced in this, because we've done a lot of litigation patents in India. In one other case, we also had an expert appointed. When the court is unable to decide, you know, if they need technical help, they do ask for an expert. So is it unusual? No, I think we had it in the past. This is again, you know, this is another second time it has happened. Okay. That's the first question. The second question is, there are two experts appointed. So essentially, there's a panel that the court has. So we chose one member and they chose one member. So I think we're just awaiting their response on the questions posed by the court. Once the opinion comes, how quickly the judge will make a decision? Hopefully soon. I think that makes I think that's our expectation. But I don't want to speculate on a timeline at this time. I think it is what it is. I mean, we're hoping that we'll get clarity in the next few weeks. I think that's all I can say. Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandeep. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil from Simple. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thanks for the opportunity. I'm audible.
Yes. Yes, Nikhil. Go ahead, man. Yeah. Go ahead.
Rajiv, just adding 2-3 points. You in the whole discussion, we mentioned that we do campaign production, which means we provide the substance to Teva on a quarterly basis. And then somewhere you also mentioned the profit booking happens as it accrues, which means when we do the sale, then only the profit will be booked to us.
That's correct.
Now, if we go back to what Teva and BMS reported on a sequential basis in their revenues, I'm unable to add up what you say in what happened in Q4 and Q1, because neither Teva has seen such a strong sales growth on a QOQ basis in their generic business, nor BMS has seen such a strong degrowth in Revlimid in the US generic US business. So, how do we add these two with your commentary?
Nikhil, first of all, go read the Teva earnings statement carefully. They have clearly stated that lenalidomide is a significant, contributor to the earnings. And for the size of Teva's business, lenalidomide doesn't make much of a difference because of the size of Teva's balance sheet. It makes a lot of difference for us because we are a smaller company. And regarding BMS's numbers, I can't comment about BMS's numbers, but I can only talk about what market share we have taken and I think what we have accrued. And as I said, there's a general increase in the portfolio of the product. So therefore, maybe it's not impacting. I'm speculating, but yeah, I think that's what I believe is probably happening.
What I am saying is that, so is this right that the profit will accrue only when Teva sells in the market?
Absolutely correct.
Then it does, that does not mean that Q2, Q3 Teva will not sell anything in US?
Nikhil, okay fine, I'll answer this question again. See, what is happening is there's a limited amount of quantity that is given. So because you have a limited amount of quantity that's given, basically what happens is a lot of the sale happens as soon as you launch. So basically once that quantity, is done, then the sale kind of tapers off. You understood, Nikhil? Nikhil, I suggest that you have a separate call with our IR person. I think he'll actually explain to you the process. Yeah? Okay?
Sure. Fine.
The next question is from the line of Ankush Agarwal from Surge Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the follow-up, sir. Rajiv, so from domestic acquisition that we've talked about, so, would it be possible for you to quantify in terms of, you know, what kind of size we are looking at? So, for example, currently we have this 1,000 crores cash, so it would be around that number, it would be materially higher given that the kind of cash flow we will be getting.
Looking at any good opportunity, I don't want to comment on the size, but, you know, I think we have to start somewhere. So anything in the 100 to 200 crore sales range would be interesting to start with. Sales range, and then depends on what multiple they'll ask, I don't know. So it all depends on, you know, right, how the negotiation goes and the nature of the portfolio and the profitability of the portfolio. Yeah. I think that's what we're looking at.
Okay. And secondly, on the CGPR again, so you mentioned that, you know, the first case is the case on the lower court and then they might again appeal to the tribunal and all that stuff. So don't you think there's a material risk that this could keep getting stressed and, you know, the opportunity for us by the time we're able to do it is not really there?
I think, see, it's not a tribunal, it's a high court. So basically what happens is typically a single judge, a single judge will give an order and whoever is aggrieved will go to the double bench. Yeah. And so that risk is there. I mean, that's the nature of the beast. I think that's all I can answer that. So that risk is there, absolutely. Your question is, there's a risk that if the DB can overturn the decision, yes, there's always that risk in any court case. But that's a risk that you take.
The reason I was asking that, you know, even if you get a favorable outcome over here, then they can again appeal, and then we are again not able to launch because it has always been delayed by more than a year now, I believe, from the initial. And then, you know, we run into major risk of write-off because if you get continued to get stretched, obviously the opportunity just keeps on reducing it. So that is what I was asking, but okay, like, obviously you yourself can't help it.
The question is, let's see, I mean, let's not speculate, no? Let's wait for the order and I think we'll see what happens. And then, that's the nature of that's how this legal system works, no? I think, I'm not getting into whether NATO gets favorable or FMC gets favorable. Whoever is on the losing side will appeal in the DB, isn't it? Double bench.
Right.
And if you're not happy with DB, you'll go to Supreme Court. That's the natural course of the process. And, but it is what it is, yeah, that's all I can say. So, you just, let's wait for the verdict and I think we can give you more light on where we stand and what we're doing.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mitesh Shah from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. I just have one question about the domestic. As you said that we struggle mainly because of the smaller of the team size and we are looking for the more assets. So how it will work that we first ramping up our size and then looking the assets, or the straight away with the assets we are taking the team as well?
It depends on the nature of the acquisition. I mean, we have ramped up the people, but the people are not yielding much. I mean, the revenue that we're getting from the NATCO Reach division, which is the more wider coverage division, is not as much where it is meaningful. So if you do an acquisition, typically they give you people, sometimes they give you the brand. It depends on the situation. To answer your question, the best way to ramp it up is with the people and the brand. I think that's probably the most ideal way of looking at it. Yeah.
Got it. And the, any particular team size you are looking to increase in next couple of years?
I answer that. I think the first one, I think in my mind, I'm looking at a sale target of about 100 to 200 crores and whatever multiple that the deal transaction ends up being.
So I'm talking about team size you ramping up over period of 2 years.
You need like to cover like, see, the biggest segment that we're not covering is consulting positions and general positions. So you need to do an all-India coverage for a segment like that, probably need like 300, 350 people, which is double of what we have at this time.
Got it. Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ahmed Madha from Unify Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. Madha, I have unmuted your line. Please go ahead with your question.
Thank you. In Bhuvika, do we have any updates?
Not at this time, Ahmed. Nothing at this time.
Okay. And just a confirmation, so from March 2023, we will have a higher team at the market share.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ritika Agarwal from ValueQuest Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I have a question on domestic formulations. Last quarter, you had indicated that 100 crore base run rate is what we are at currently in the domestic formulation, and we expect 10 to 15% growth this year based on the new launches. Do we still stand on this, what we indicated last quarter?
I think so. I think things are okay in domestic. I think we'll be able to meet that target. I think, that's our expectation. That's correct.
Okay, sure. That's it from me.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gagan Zareja from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking the follow-up. This one is again on CTPR. If the verdict goes in your favor, would you be given an exclusivity for the launch of CTPR or because the patent would have expired, any which ways you would be launching with other people in the market?
We will win the first wave launch. India doesn't have a concept of exclusivity like the US, so yeah. So anybody else also can launch, provided they have a non-infringing route on the process.
Okay. I would have thought there's a marketing exclusivity period for a launch in a 9-3 format?
No. Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I'll get back in.
Thank you. As that was the last question for today, on behalf of Natco Pharma Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.
Okay, thank you. Thank you all. Have a good day.